Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Notice this here in 1 John chapter 2 in verse 10. It says, "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." How many would like to live a stumble-free life? We can live a stumble-free life. We can go through life without getting tripped up, without stumbling, which means we can go through life without missing it. Because really, to stumble is to miss it. So to not stumble is to never miss it. Can we live a life where we never miss it? Well, yeah, I mean, right here he says that if we what? If we walk in love, he who loves his brother, he who walks in love, abides in or remains, continues in the light. You know, the reason why people miss it in life is because of darkness. People don't see clearly, spiritually. You know, I'm not talking about physical darkness. There's a spiritual darkness in this world. People have spiritual darkness in them. And so when we're walking in love, the Bible says we will be in the light. So the more in love we are, the more light we're going to have, the brighter it's going to get. How many people know there are different levels of light? Right? I mean, you could, you know, look at all these lights in these rooms. Well, we have several switches in the back over there, and you could turn some of those switches off and lower the lighting. So not necessarily turn the light off completely, but we can lower the lighting, or we can add more light in here. And we can make it brighter and brighter. We can get to the point where it's like, whoa, you got to squint because it's so bright. Man, that's how God wants us to be spiritually. He wants it to be so bright. It's like we got our high beamers on. And I mean, you know, you're going down a dark road, you got your lights on, you think you see pretty good, and then all of a sudden you turn those high beamers on. And next thing you know, now you can see twice as far. Things are that much more clearer. Well, that's how it is for us as we grow in the love of God. It gets brighter and gets brighter and brighter. And now we can see further. So we know things that are coming ahead of time sooner because things are brighter. And so there's no stumbling. There's no hitting objects, crashing into things because we see it so clearly. Everything's so clear. That's God's will for our life. God doesn't want us to have any darkness in us. He wants us to be so in the light that there's no cause for stumbling at all. No cause for stumbling at all. How many people know Jesus, when he walked the earth, he never stumbled? He never stumbled. And the Bible says in 1 John that we are to walk even as he walked. We're to walk just like him, just like the Master. He's our example to follow. So again, notice verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light. Now notice there's someone involved in this. You know, it's very easy to be a person of love when you're by yourself. Isn't that right? You know, by yourself, there's nobody around. And but then you get around certain people and it's like, I was just fine. I was spiritual. I felt close to God until you came home, till I got around you. Well, everybody's spiritual by themselves. Well, I shouldn't really say that, should I? There are some integrity issues. But nevertheless, you know what I'm talking about. Love shines the brightest when we're around other people. That's when we really see where our love walk is at. How are we towards other people? How do we treat others? He says in verse 11, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So again, if we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God in life, we're talking about walking in love. Walking in love towards others. And when we get out of love towards others, we're going to be in the dark. And if we're in the dark, it's going to be difficult to be able to follow God. It's going to be difficult to know what he has for us to do, where he would have us to go, and how we should respond to this situation and that situation. Things are going to be cloudy and confusing. But when we're in the light, then we can see clearly what to do, where to go. I want to be in the light, don't you? And I don't want just a little light. I want a lot of light. I want a lot of light. Well, how do you get a lot of light? Grow in that love of God. Walk in love. Walk in love towards other people. So that this is a big deal. If we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, we have to grow in the love of God. If you deal with a lot of confusion and uncertainty about your life, and should I do this or should I do that, you're not sure what the will of God is, well, don't just whine about it. Go ahead and grow in the love of God. Fill yourself up on things pertaining to God's love. Determine within yourself that I'm going to master this love walk. And as you do, the confusion will go. Because confusion comes as the result of darkness, or the opposite of love, which is selfishness. Being self-seeking. We see that over here in the book of James. Hold your place in 1 John. Go with me back to James chapter 3. He says in verse 16, "For where envy and self-seeking," that's the opposite of love, "self-seeking," or selfishness, "where self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing will be there." That's a powerful verse of scripture right there. I mean, that gives us such understanding about things. Where there's self-seeking, there's confusion. And every evil thing. In other words, the more selfish we are, the more the devil is going to feel comfortable to be around us. Every evil thing. Things are going wrong. Everything's going wrong. Everything's falling apart. I'm so confused. Stop. How do we fix that? Get out of selfishness. Get over into love. Do something lovely. Do something Christ-like. Get yourself over in love. This is a great way, you know, to judge ourselves, to be able to check up on ourselves and see where we're at, you know. If I'm dealing with confusion, I know right away, because I have this, this truth has been downloaded into my spirit for years. So I know, man, whenever I start getting into confusion, I stop right there and I go, oh boy. So a lot of folks just want to start yelling at the devil. It's the devil. You get out of here, devil. We bind you in the name of Jesus, devil. Well, the devil can't do very much if you're walking in love. Because you're going to be in the light, and he is darkness. And darkness can't come in where the lights are on. I mean, I double dare darkness to come in this room while these switches are on. There's no fear of that. And it's dark out there in that parking lot. But we can open up all the doors and say, come on in, darkness. And as long as we don't turn those switches off, that darkness ain't got a shot in here. The same thing with the devil. I said it's the same thing with the devil. He is the spirit of darkness of this world. And when we're in the light, there's no fear of the devil. Hallelujah. You can't come in here, devil. The lights are on. Hallelujah. Simple as that. You don't do a lot of yelling and screaming and all this kind of stuff at the devil. Just keep the lights on, for crying out loud. Even Motel 6 knows that. They'll keep the lights on for you. They tell you that. Just keep the lights on for the devil. He'll never be able to come in. because he is darkness. Isn't that awesome? It's easy. Somebody say, being led by God is easy. Yeah. So I know right away if I'm getting confused, if I'm dealing with fear, if I'm getting flustered, evil things seem to be just getting all around me, I just get right back to, how's my love walk doing? How's my love walk doing? And I'll work on that. And it's amazing how when you work on your love walk, how it changes all these other things. It changes all these other things around you. Instead of trying to change all the things and all the people around you, love them. Love the people. Love the people. And that'll fix just about everything. Love will fix just about everything. Because God is love. When you're tapping into love, you're tapping into God, and you're walking in the light. And there will be no reason for you to stumble. No reason, no cause for you to stumble. Back here at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John the 4th chapter in verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now notice that. For everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. How many want to be led by God? Well, you got to know what God wants, right? You got to know what he's doing, know what he wants to do in each and every situation in life, right? Well, how do you know God? How do you know what he wants? How do you know what to do? Love. He who loves knows. Simple as that. He who loves knows. You want to know some things? How can you know more? Well, study. Well, that's nice. But you could study and study, study, and fill yourself up with a head full of knowledge, a head full of scripture, and still be as blind as a bat if you don't have love. Because the Bible says knowledge, and lots of knowledge, puffs up. But love edifies or builds up. See, knowledge is just puff a person up. What do you think of something puffed up? You know, they're just inflated. This is full of a lot of hot air. And a lot of folks full of a lot of air. They got a lot of knowledge, quoting a lot of knowledge, know a lot of things with their head, but they're just full of a lot of hot air. When it comes down to it in life, they really don't know what to do. But love always knows. Love always knows what to do. Love will build you up. Love will build up other people. You'll be a builder of people. You'll be able to help people when you walk in the love of God. So it's not just knowledge, not just head knowledge, not just reading and studying. It's walking in love. We've got to walk in love. The more we walk in love, and again, where does it all start? It starts in the way you think. The way you think about people. The way you view life, the way you view God. And how do I view God? Well, a lot of people have a real critical view of God. A lot of you, well, you never know with God. Sometimes he'll make you sick. Sometimes he'll heal you. You know, God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes he'll kill you. He's got plans for us that we don't understand and never will until we get to heaven, if we make it there. People have all kinds of real religious, terrible ideas about God. Critical. Critical of God. Love starts with how we think. How do we think about God? How we get to know him. According to the truth, he's a God of love. God is so in love with me, it's ridiculous. And that's why when you know how much he loves you, you know you're going to be all right. You know everything's going to be all right. Doesn't matter how it looks, God loves me. Doesn't matter what's going on around you, God loves me. What does that mean? Well, I mean, he's committed to me. He cares about me. With long life, he'll satisfy me. He's going to honor me. He's going to take care of me. I know he's going to forgive me, have mercy on me. Well, what happens if I missed it? Well, God loves me. Well, what happens if I didn't do everything right? What happens if I brought it on myself? God loves me. He'll help me out of it. He'll turn it around. I'll make crooked places on him, but he'll straighten them out because I believe he will. Because I believe God just loves me that much. He just loves me that much. He's going to take care of me. So we start having lovely thoughts about God, lovely thoughts about other people. We got to watch about always just, you know, you got to catch yourself. Some people don't even realize it's a habit. It's the way they think. It's always critical of people. Some people got loose pupils in their eyes. They turn around. As soon as they turn around, their eyes roll. You know, they just roll their eyes behind your back. It's dark when you do that. It gets very dark. Thank you, David. It's very true. You can't see very well. When you're rolling your eyes, you can't see very well. You know what I'm talking about? We got what? How am I thinking about people? We need to have lovely thoughts about people. Remember, love believes the best of all people. Love's believing the best. Love's believing good things. Love's looking for the best to come out of every situation in life. See, this is all part of keeping the light real bright so that we can see where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to. I ain't going that way. See, other people, they can't see. They're like, this is a perfectly fine road to take. We need to do this. I've done this since I was such and such. And you're looking going, uh-uh. I ain't going that way. Why? Because I can see up there, man. It's a mess. That road is washed out. The bridge is washed out. I'm not going that way. So, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Everybody say, love knows. If I walk in love, I'll know what I need to know when I need to know it. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. That's right. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now think about that. He says he has delivered us from the power of what? Darkness. Now, what would be kind of the natural thing to say next when talking about what kingdom we've been placed in? If he says the kingdom of darkness, then you would think he would say, and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of Light, or into the kingdom of light. Because light would be the opposite of darkness. So it seemed like you would say light there, because the Bible has a lot to say about light. God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. We wear the armor of light. We're soldiers of light, right? We're not of the day, we're not of the night, we're of the day, you know. It has a lot to say about light. So, you know, why didn't it say it here? Why does it say we've come out of darkness and we're in love and not in light? Because love is the opposite of darkness. Because when you've got love, you've got light. God's light is love. Say that. Say it again. God's light is love. So you see, we're out of the darkness and we're in love. So whenever you feel like darkness is messing with you, you say, no, praise God, I'm out of the dark. I'm in the love. I'm in the kingdom of love. Praise God. I'm in the kingdom of love. God's love's in me. I'm in love. Praise God, I see clearly what I'm supposed to do. Notice over here in Colossians chapter 2. Now, there are several prayers that the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of these epistles, there are prayers for the churches that he put here in these letters. And notice what he says here in this prayer in Colossians chapter 1. No. Colossians chapter 2 in verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. How people look for some encouragement? Love will encourage you. You know, when you walk in love, you'll be encouraged. If you feel discouraged, the best thing you can do when you feel discouraged is walk in love. Do something lovely. Love somebody. But you see, when you're discouraged, what's the natural fleshly tendency? What's the thing to do when you get discouraged? Well, be critical and judgmental and just angry and obnoxious and 'cause you're discouraged. And when you're discouraged, everybody's going to know it. And they're going to feel it. They're going to feel the brunt of your discouragement. Well, no, see, that's how you stay discouraged. Then you just make more of a mess for yourself. If you want to get out of discouragement, walk in love. And you'll walk in encouragement. Love is encouraging. Love is encouraging. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Notice that, to the knowledge, knowing the mystery of God. Well, now God works in mysterious ways. Thus said the man who did not walk in love. The more we grow in love, the more it takes the mystery out of God. The more we walk in love, the less of a mystery the will of God is to us. But you see, the more over in selfishness and not walking in love, see, then God's just one big mystery. We don't understand anything. I don't understand why it is. I don't know. Why did it happen? I don't know. You never know with God. But love knows. Love knows, and love takes the mystery out of God. It takes the mystery out of the will of God for your life. Not just for your life, but for your moment. For your day. For every hour of your life. God's love takes the mystery out of it. Do you see that? So you'll be encouraged by love. And you'll attain to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. You'll have such understanding. You'll be full of understanding. To the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Let me read this from the Common English Bible. My goal is that their heart would be encouraged and united together in love. In love. Now, notice again. My goal is that their hearts would be encouraged and united together in love so that they might have all the riches of assurance and come with understanding, that come with understanding, so that they might have the knowledge of the secret plan of God, namely Christ. Isn't that powerful? So notice, the goal is to be united together in love so that we might have all the riches of assurance that come with understanding. Hallelujah. When you understand things, there's an assurance you have in life. A confidence. You're not walking around wondering and wavering and double-minded and confused, but you got assurance of what you're doing, where you're going, how things are going to turn out, right? You got this blessed assurance. When what? When you grow in love. And that's the goal. Even tonight, what does God want to do? He wants to bind us together in love. He wants us to just love one another, care about each other, right? Take that love out into the world, take it out into the workplace. Love, 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 love. Bless God, I'm going to walk in love. It's too dangerous to walk out of love. It's too dangerous. It's dangerous to walk in bitter envy and self-seeking and anger. Why? Because that puts me in the dark. And I can't afford to be in the dark. Not for a day, not for an hour. I don't want any darkness in my life. I don't want to go into the dark. So don't let the devil use other people to get you to get in darkness. You let those people be an opportunity for you to exercise your love walk and grow more discerning, more wise, have greater understanding, and thus a greater assurance in life. You know, there's things you cannot know with your head, like how to pronounce a word or something, you know? And you can get tongue-tied and have all kinds of things happen in the natural and yet still be in the light spiritually. You still have an understanding, even though it isn't registering on your mind. There's an understanding you can know with your spirit. There's things you can understand and be assured of and know on the inside of you, even though on the outside you're not really sure about stuff. And it's more important to know what you need to know in your spirit than what you need to know in the natural, because what you need to know in the natural is subject to spiritual things. So it's always the spirit first. The natural can never overcome spiritual problems, but the spirit can always overcome natural problems. So we always want to put the spirit first. We live in a world that puts the natural first in everything. But we want to put the spirit first. Put the spirit first. That's the most important thing. That's the greater knowledge. That's the greater understanding. That's the greater wisdom. It's the wisdom of the spirit. The wisdom of the spirit. Not just human, natural wisdom. The wisdom of men. We need spiritual wisdom, number one. And then natural wisdom comes after that. Can you say amen? Philippians chapter 1 in verse 9, he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Notice that. That as your love abounds, so we got love, but let it abound. Let it, what is abound? Overflow. Just be full and overflowing in love. Just like God, who is in you. Overflow with love. Overflow with love. He says that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Notice knowledge and discernment go right along with love. Again, we see that. Knowledge and discernment go right along with love. Discernment here means perception. To be able to perceive. Well, that's, you know, we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. We're talking about perceiving with our spirit, what the Spirit of God would have us to do, what he would not have us to do. Being led by him is to be able to perceive with our spirit, to perceive with our spirit, to perceive. A perception means insight, sensitivity, awareness. See, as we grow in love, we become more sensitive. You know, a person that walks in selfishness and hatred and a lot of anger and resentment and all this kind of stuff is not going to be very sensitive to other people or really to anything. They're not going to be a very sensitive person. But the more we grow in love, the more we become really, really sensitive. Become sensitive people. And we can pick up when people have problems. We can pick up when people are going through something. Pick up if something's not quite right. A lot of people don't even know what's going on. People are smiling, people are laughing. But love is like super sensitive. It knows. It knows what's going on. It knows what's really happening here. It's picking up things that other people don't pick up. You know, I think of like a dog or something when the weather's changing, or you know, they've talked about before an earthquake comes. You know, dogs or animals start, you know, have certain behavior. You know, they start getting anxious and things like that, right? Because naturally they're sensing that something's coming, something bad is coming. They're sensitive to that. Well, we should be spiritually sensitive. So we know what's coming. We know what's going on. We can sense danger. We can sense if there really is a problem, right? We can sense good things, something's good, even though it might look bad. We're sensitive. We need to be that. We don't want to be callous and dull and insensitive to people, to others. Right? So many people are so dull and insensitive. They say things carelessly and recklessly, and they don't even realize what they're doing. It's like, you have no idea how you just hurt that person. Careless, reckless. Well, that's how we all start out. But thank God that's not where we all stay. Someone might want to stay there. I'm not staying there. I want to become super sensitive. Super sensitive. Just, you could pick up on stuff really, really good. How does that come? Well, grow in love. And this I pray, that your love may abound. So that's a prayer we could pray. We can pray that prayer for ourselves and for others. Father, I pray that my love would abound. That'd be a good prayer to pray when you understand the effects of love in your life, how important love is. Why don't we pray that? We should pray that. That's a prayer we can pray. Father, help me today to grow in love, that love would abound more and more. More and more in my life. Let love abound more and more. Notice Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's good to do that. Bow your knee to your Father. I think sometimes, you know, we can get into such familiarity with God. I know God. God loves me. He's with me. God's with me all the time. Well, when was the last time you bowed your knee? You know, he's God. We need a reverence of him like God. Now, you don't always have to bow your knee. I mean, sometimes you can lie down and pray. You can pray standing up. You can pray, but there's a time to bow your knee. I think you should bow your knee every day, personally, but I don't have scripture for it, but I think it would be good. Bow your knee every day to God. If you're not, see, to me, that's a test again. If I'm not bowing my knee, then, oh, maybe, just maybe, pride is influencing me. Because after all, why wouldn't I bow my knee to the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ? Why wouldn't I do that? What would hinder me from desiring that and wanting to do that? Being callous, being dull. I think if we're really sensitive to God, we're going to find ourselves wanting to kneel. Bow our knees before him more often. He goes on in praying in verse 16. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Say, I'm an inner man. That's right. Because you're a spirit. Your spirit is the inner part of your being. The outer man is your flesh, and even your soul is considered the outer part of you. But your spirit is the inner part of you. God wants you to be strengthened in your inner man. Strengthened inwardly. Sometimes people are dealing with weaknesses, sicknesses, issues in the flesh, but it's really spiritual in its origin. You got to go back to the spirit. What's the condition of your spirit? Keep building your spirit up. Exercise your spirit. Ask God. Pray. Strengthen me with might through your spirit in my inner man, Lord. It's a prayer you can pray. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That's interesting. To know something in your spirit that passes intellectual knowledge. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Don't you want to be full? Woo, filled with all the fullness of God? Yes, how does it happen? How does it happen? Verse 19, to know the love of Christ. To know the love, actually come back to verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, you know, again, once you're rooted and grounded in something, you won't look like a tumbleweed. How many people know a tumbleweed is not rooted and grounded? So a good wind will just blow that thing right across the street. Right? Well, that's how a lot of people, where the love walk is at. It's not really a love walk, it's more of a love roll. It rolls with the wind. It rolls with the wind. I feel lovely. I don't feel lovely. I feel lovely. I don't feel lovely. I feel lovely. I don't feel lovely. Just north, south, east, and west. Just whatever direction the wind's blowing. It's like a tumbleweed. Just blowing around. No, you need to be rooted and grounded in love. So you're not being blown around by your feelings or the feelings of those around you, including the devil. He's got feelings, and he'll try to put his feelings on you, get around you with his ugly feelings. But when you're rooted and grounded in love, it don't matter what you feel going on around you. You're lovely. You're going to love people. You're going to walk in love. You're going to treat people nice. You're going to be right. You're going to do the right thing. Well, notice what's the benefits of it. What's the benefits of being rooted and grounded in love? Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend. Comprehend. Love gives you comprehension. Love will increase your comprehension. Who ever thought? Your comprehension can get better by getting rooted and grounded in love. That word comprehend, when I looked it up in the Greek, it means to lay hold of with the mind, to understand, perceive. There's that perception again. Learn, catch. Some things are taught, other things are caught. There's some things, you know, when we're talking about the Spirit and the Spirit of God, there's things we just catch. You catch them. There's things to catch tonight. Catch the Spirit of faith. Catch the Spirit of love. Catch. There's things that we're to catch. Not just listen and be taught with our head, but there's things to catch with our heart. That'll change us. Get us rooted and grounded in love and cause us to be more able to comprehend things. It'll increase our comprehension or our understanding, our perception, our ability to catch what the Spirit of God is saying, what the Spirit of God is doing. Catch what the Spirit of God would have you to do. You know, you just catch it. Catch it. What does God want us to do? Catch it. Catch what he has for you to do, praise God. Hallelujah. Catch it with your heart. You just catch it with your heart. That's what love will do for you. Help you to, again, help you to comprehend with all the saints. This is for all the saints. Verse 19, to know. So you get rooted in the ground in love. What's going to happen? You're going to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You're going to go deeper and deeper in your comprehension and understanding of God's love as you walk in love. As you get rooted in the ground in love, you grow in love. Love is the greatest thing. That's what the Bible says. Love is greater than anything. Because you got love, man. You got it. You got whatever you need. You got it. You got the victory. You got something that'll never fail. You got direction. You got light. You can see. You got sensitivity. You got comprehension. You got understanding. You got knowledge. Woo! Man, I want this love. Don't you? I want this love. If we're growing in God, if we're growing in our faith, we're going to be growing in love. When I first got saved, love wasn't the thing that I was most interested in. You know, I'm interested in other things. But as you grow in God, love becomes the thing. Love becomes the thing. That becomes the goal. The Bible says the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. I mean, the whole purpose of the command, whole purpose of it all is love. And as you grow in God, you grow in your desire for love. You grow in your understanding of how important love is. You're growing in love. So you want more love. You want to be better and better at love. You want to get more rooted and grounded in love. Love's a big deal. Notice Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, be followers of God. That's what we're talking about, aren't we? Being led by God is following God, isn't it? Huh? Did y'all go home? Being led by God is following God, right? Well, notice what he says. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children and, verse 2, walk in love as Christ also has, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Love smells good. It really doesn't matter what kind of cologne you wear or perfume you wear. I mean, it does matter. I shouldn't say that. But there's something that supersedes all that. Love just supersedes all that stuff, man. When you are walking in love, man, life will smell good to you. People will smell better to you. Spiritually. But that's important because, again, the natural won't mean as much to you. It won't be that big of a deal. You'll see right past the smell. You'll see right past, I'm talking about smelly, I'm just talking about smelly things. Smelly attitudes. Smelly behavior. And a lack of deodorant. No. Well, yes. Love will overcome it all. Praise God. Love will overcome it all. See right past it all. How in the world did I get off on all that? Where was I? Oh, it's a fragrance. Praise God. Somebody say, love smells good. Yeah, I mean, you could put all the perfume on in the world, but if you walk around vain, vanity, and self-seeking and everything else, people will look at it and you go, there's something really smelly here. There's something really smelly here, spiritually. But if we're walking in love, man, we're giving off the fragrance of Christ. All right, so back to Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be followers of God. Be led by God as dear children and walk in love. So that's how we do it. That's how we're going to be led by him. It's by walking in love. Another translation says, therefore, be imitators of God. Verse 2, and walk in love. Love, the common English version says, let love be your guide. See, in following God, imitating God, let love be your guide. See, if you want to be led by God, let love be your guide. So in other words, there's a lot of situations in life you look and say, well, what would love do? Not human love. What would love do? What would God's love do? What would God's love do? You know, there's a real superficial human love. But then there's that deeper love, the deeper love of God that many times goes against that superficial human love. And that's why a lot of folks that only know superficial human love will they'll think that's the most unlovely thing in the world when you walk in love. But yet you just continue to walk in love and the fruit of love will be manifest and people will see it. It will prove you right. You stay with love, it'll prove you right. Even though it might look tough and not look nice at first, it will prove you right. Love will not let you down. It will not fail you. Somebody say, love will not fail me. Love will never fail me. Which means it'll never let me down. Yeah, so give into it, yield to it, flow with it. Even when it looks like that's not what you're supposed to do, do it. Love will never let you down. The easy to read version says, live a life of love. Praise God, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Not just, I'm going to be lovely to this person. We live this life of love. That's how we're led by God. The Good News translation says your life must be controlled by love. In other words, if you're going to be a follower of God, if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, your life must be controlled by love. If you're going to be led by him, it has to be controlled by love. Can you say amen? One more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh." We don't regard people according to the flesh. We're not going to judge things according to the flesh, according to the outward. We don't judge according to the flesh. We don't regard anyone according to the flesh. Why? Because we go back to verse 14. "For the love of Christ constrains us." The love of Christ constrains us. Verse 15. "And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves." Living for yourself is the opposite of walking in love. Walking in the love of Christ. But when walking in the love of Christ, it constrains us. So we don't regard anyone according to the flesh anymore. We don't judge things according to the outward any longer. We don't answer things according to the flesh any longer. We let the love of God dominate us and constrain us. Another translation, American Standard Version, says, "For the love of Christ constrains us." Well, we said that already. The word constrain, it means to restrain, hold back. Hold you back. Thank God. Have you ever felt like you needed something to hold you back? Hold back those words. Hold back that attitude. Hold back that behavior. Hold back from going there and doing this and doing that. Hold back from those reactions. What's going to hold you back? The love of Christ. That's what will hold you back. It'll keep you out of trouble. And there's been things I look back in my life, you know, and I was excited about something. I was going to do this thing and make this person a certain thing and do something or other. And I'm ready to go and just about ready to do it. I said, can't do it. Something just constrained me. Something just held me back. Something just pulled me back from doing that. And then some of those things, I mean, it wasn't long after, all of a sudden it manifested for what it really was. And I went, oh my Jesus. Thank God I didn't do what I was going to do. What I thought would be a good thing to do according to obviously the flesh. Thank God the love of God grows in you and you become more and more sensitive to the love of God that's in you. It'll constrain you. It'll keep you from so many problems. You won't find yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing, getting into all kinds of trouble. You won't sign that contract. You won't make this deal. You won't do this thing or that thing. God's love will hold you back from it. It'll hold you back from it. See, without that love, the more insensitive you are, we'll just walk right into stuff, man. We'll just walk right into problems, create a bunch of problems for ourselves. Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible says, "For the love of Christ controls and compels us." See, again, we're talking about being led by God, right? We want to be controlled by God. We want to be under his control. Well, love will do it. That love of Christ, it'll control. It's what's control. We need to say that about ourselves. The love of God is controlling me. I'm just here for the ride. God's controlling me. That's why, you know, you make decisions sometimes. People look at you and go, why'd you do that for them and not for me? Or why this? Why that? Well, I don't know. Love controls me. Love controls me. Love knows what's best. Well, you mean you love them more than me? Well, no, that's not what I said. God knows what's best for you and what's best for them. And it might be better for you that I don't get involved in that situation. Because if I get involved in it, it might keep you from God's best. It might get in the way. Of course, see, we would never know that with our natural mind. That's why we got to be led by love. We got to be led by love. The Amplified Classic Edition. There's so much out there, you know, it's amazing. For the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us. Impels means to drive, thrust, push us forward. So God's love, it constrains and it thrusts. You know, because sometimes, you know, your flesh will constrain you. You say, my Lord, I ain't getting involved in that. Just keep me out of that. But then the next thing, that love of God just compels you. It just thrusts you. It just pushes you into stuff. Pushes you. Open your mouth and say something. Do something about this. It'll get you involved in stuff that your flesh doesn't want to get involved in. But thank God, that's the love. The love of God, it's urging us. It's constraining us. It's compelling us. It's doing all these things. It's what's controlling us. The Common English Version says we are ruled by Christ's love for us. We're ruled by it. Somebody say, I'm ruled by love. That's right. That's your ruler. That's who rules you. That's who controls you. That's who dominates you. I am dominated by the love of God. It's a good confession. It's a good prayer. Father, I just thank you. Help me to be dominated by your love today. That no matter what goes wrong, I won't. I won't go wrong. No matter what fails around me. Stuff will fail you, people will fail you, things will fail, but bless God, God's love will never fail. So I'm going to stay over in the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, cause me to be dominated by love. I just want to be dominated by your love. Man, that's a prayer you're going to get answered. Because that's the goal of it all, folks, to grow and walk in the love of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Come on, stand on your feet with me tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.